Let's talk to Bruce Williamson, who is from the campaign group Rail Future. Hello, Bruce. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. So the Welsh Government and Transport for Wales talking about a world-class rail service. Be honest, hand on heart, Bruce, do you think we'll get it?
Not in the short term. I think their heart's in the right place, but there's a lot of work to do to get the railway up to a standard which everyone wants. For instance, there's talk of new rolling stock, which is great, but you can't just buy that off the shelf in an instant. It takes quite a long time to sort of procure it and get the trains built and find the money, blah, 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 blah. And then, of course, the whole of the British railway system, if you like, has a whole sort of system of hand-me-downs. So when new trains get put on one line, then the old trains get, you know, put onto another line and so on. So some of these new trains or newer trains that are coming to Wales are sort of hand-me-downs from other parts of the country. So it's a tangled mess.
But aren't those trains going to be better than the ones that people have been using with Arriva?
Oh, undoubtedly, yes, yes. I mean, everyone hates the paces, don't they? And, you know, the other issue, of course, is capacity. I mean, you know, we've heard about overcrowding problems on some of the lines. So just the fact that they are extra trains, even if they're not better than the existing ones, means you've got more seats. So that's a good thing as well.
Yeah.
You know, clearly, you know, if you pay your money, you take a choice. And it looks like the Welsh Assembly government has decided to pay the money with £5 billion. But, you will get something back for that, but it will take time.
Very often you pay your money and you pay an awful lot of money for your train tickets and you can't get a seat, Bruce. So I suppose many of my listeners will be going, okay, right, I understand there's a brand launch and this is the short term stuff, right? I understand there's a brand launch. I understand I'll be seeing that big red T an awful lot around the stations and also on the trains as well, because that's what they're doing. They're refurbishing some of the trains, aren't they?
Yeah.
But will people be able to get a seat? This is what people want to know. And also fares. Are they going to see reduced fares?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's obviously, if you've got more seats, there's a greater chance of you getting one. So overcrowding is reduced, so that's a good thing. Fares, they've promised something on fares, but of course fares, you know, reducing fares relies on subsidy from the government. And UK-wide, of course, we've heard recently that for the eighth year on the trot, I think it's 8 years, the government has decided to freeze fuel duty for motorists, but rail tickets are still going up again. So, Westminster clearly has a bias in favour of the motorist and against the poor old rail passenger.
Yeah, well, looking through this wraparound in the Western Mail this morning, they're saying, and what they've done is, it's quite clever, actually. It gives a real understanding of where we are and the timetable for development, that by 2025, we will have this, in inverted commas, world-class rail service. 2020, you'll be seeing at prices for 6 to 18-year-olds, new fares initiative with better fares for 16 to 18 year olds. You use the trains an awful lot, Bruce, and you talk about it on the radio. That's what it's all about. It's about money, it's about frequency, and actually getting a seat, isn't it, in comfort?
Absolutely, yeah. That's what people want. It's not rocket science. You know, it's with so many things, it's easy to identify the problem. Identifying the solutions is a little bit harder. But yeah, the idea of introducing free travel for the youngsters, get them young, and then get them into the rail habit, which is, you know, which is great for the environment and so on. That'll lead to sort of an improved railway in the longer term with more people using it. That shows that there's demand for it and the politicians sort of sit up and listen.
Seeing as we're here, just got a quick question about electrification from Tony, who says they're always wasting millions on railways, Jason. What's the point of electrification? Just bring us right up to date with where we are, because we're specifically talking about trains in and around Wales on that First Great Western or GWR, whatever they're called. How quick will my listeners be able to get from Cardiff to London these days?
When it's fully electrified, I think you'll save about 20 minutes off the journey. I mean, I would like to say, what's the point of electrification? Electrification is great. It's a win-win-win-win-win situation. Even though it's expensive to put up the wires, electric trains, they go faster, they're more reliable, they're cheaper to buy, they're cheaper to run, and they can plough electricity back into the grid when they break as well. You have this thing called regenerative braking. So, you know, we're very, very much in favour of electrification, and it's, we need to push for more of it. Hopefully, one day we'll see the end of diesel trains altogether.
Bruce, the spin from the Welsh Government of Transport for Wales, because that's what it is. It's, you know, you are going to get a better rail service, but you know the industry better than most. Do you think they are going to get a better service?
Yeah, I do. There's no doubt these improvements will happen. But, you know, the key issue is it will take time, it will take money, and it's not going to be sort of nirvana. You know, I think even in 20 years' time, people will still be moaning about the railways, but hopefully they won't be anywhere near as bad as they are now.
Very good to talk to you, Bruce. That's Bruce Williamson from the campaign group Rail Future.